Thank you very much, John.
It's good to have your voice on Relevant Radio. But let's talk a little bit about you. You're a Chicago native. You're blessed to be a protege of the late Cardinal Bernardine. He's at a very young age, the youngest archbishop in Cincinnati at age 44, you at age 36 as an auxiliary bishop. What did he mean to you, and what did he teach you that you'll be using during your time as archbishop in Washington, D.C.?
Well, first of all, Cardinal Bernardine meant the world to me. He set a high standard, John, of what a bishop should be, because obviously I was learning. I was a new bishop, his young auxiliary, and he always had time for me. I've said this before and in other situations, he never lost the common touch. He became a pastor to the people of the Archdiocese of Chicago and a mentor and friend and brother to me. So he meant the world to me. And you say, what did I learn from him? I hope I learned not to take myself too seriously. He had a wonderful, wonderful sense of humor and a deep capacity to listen to people and to invite consensus. Consensus sometimes with very differing perspectives being proposed, but he could listen and he could bring people together. I hope that becomes a gift that I can share here in the Archdiocese of Washington.
Archbishop Gregory, since you began as a priest, technically the role of a bishop is pretty much the same, but has it changed? Have the expectations changed over the decades?
I think they have. From what I have been told, there was an era where bishops were more isolated. I've even had people tell me when we've met under different circumstances at parishes and events that I've never met an archbishop. I've never talked to the archbishop. I've never met the bishop. That's no longer the situation. I think, at least in my experience, and it's a very welcome discovery. Bishops should be close to their people. I believe that Pope Francis has raised that to another level in his exhortations to bishops and in his own example. He is a pontiff that's very, very comfortable in the midst of the people who come to visit him or that he goes to visit. And I think that's one of his great gifts. And I think that's one of the things he would want all bishops to emulate.
Archbishop Gregory, speaking to that point that bishops should be close to their people, how do you see your role as archbishop engaging in the primary industry in Washington, D.C., and that's politics?
John, originally when I had the first announcement, I clearly told people that I was not elected to Congress. I was appointed to be the bishop. And there are two very distinct roles and functions. I, as the bishop, the Archbishop of Washington, have to explain, teach, proclaim, defend the church's teaching and its social principles and its great heritage of faith. But I also have to do that respecting the role that elected government officials have. We have to respect one another and recognize the differences that distinguish the reasons why we're living here in Washington.
Archbishop Gregory, lots of issues revolving around life right now that are in the political sphere at the moment as well. What's the role of the church from the pulpit versus grassroots in mobilizing people to try and get God's will done in this issue?
Well, it seems to me that the role of the church has not shifted over the centuries. That is, the church must proclaim in season and out of season, to use a scriptural reference, the dignity of every human life, from its first moments in conception to its conclusion at the end of life. And every episode in that long journey continues to enjoy the dignity that God bestowed on every human being, no matter what the circumstances. So not only must we defend human life that is waiting to be born, but we have to defend and proclaim the dignity of human life that is to be found among immigrant peoples, the poor, those imprisoned, those who live life with physical or emotional disabilities. There has to be this unquestioned chain of the dignity of human life at each of its stages.
We're blessed to be spending time with Archbishop Wilton Gregory just hours before his installation as the seventh bishop of the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C. That happens at 2 p.m. Eastern today at the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception. The Archdiocese of Washington, Your Excellency, has a remarkable African-American Catholic legacy. What can we learn from that legacy to build bridges in a culture that's divided by race in a country that's also embracing nationalism?
I will be learning, and I hope others will pause to learn, the great heritage of faith of the African-American Catholic community here in the Archdiocese of Washington, a legacy of faith that stretches back beyond the years of our establishment as an independent country. There's a tremendous heritage of courage and devotion to the Catholic faith that Black people should proudly display and proudly rejoice in. And I hope to learn more about that. Obviously, as someone born in Chicago and who had served in Southern Illinois and served in Atlanta, I too have to learn what is the legacy and heritage that is so proudly shared among African-American Catholics here in the Washington Archdiocese, and to the best of my ability, to build on that legacy and heritage. Because, as I have said before, I am a son of the African-American Catholic community that's been called to become the shepherd of this local church.
Archbishop Gregory, this kind of came to mind in terms of the life discussion. Our current culture loves conflict, it seems, almost using it as entertainment. So we're maybe losing the way to talk with someone who disagrees with us about life or even racial issues. Any tips on really learning to talk with those with differing views in hopes of bringing them around?
You know, I think that one of the great blessings that we enjoy in today's world is that of social media. It has the capacity to provide information and to give us entertainment and to hopefully also inspire us. Unfortunately, and I think you have alluded to this, the journalistic statement that if it bleeds, it leads has taken over, I think, too much of social communication. That is the portrayal of all that is wrong. That isn't balanced with some of the great things that we have as people accomplished and hold as sacred. So there has to be a balance. The media, which is a great blessing, and those who work for the media are vitally important participants in society. But they also have to take time to broadcast more consistently and more frequently the good stories that are out there, and there are many good stories of heroism and generosity and altruistic service that don't get the attention that they should have, and I think that adds to the lack of civility and the polarization that we are now experiencing in ways that we never thought possible before social media became such a powerful force.
Archbishop Gregory, we're blessed to be on a network that does broadcast the good, the true, the beautiful, the gospel message, and also a message of hope. You know that the church certainly has been through some very difficult times of late. What is your message of hope going to be to the faithful in the Archdiocese of Washington?
First of all, I have to speak the truth to them. I can't be Pollyannistic and denying the challenges that we've experienced, the difficulties, the shame. But I also have to invite them to reach down into their own spiritual hearts and their own legacy of faith to see that if we dwell completely on all that the past has done, including the scandal, the difficulties, the problems, the sources of embarrassment, if we dwell on those, we compromise our tomorrows.
Archbishop Gregory, a big task being an archbishop, especially in Washington, D.C., but always a priest. Throughout your career, what's been your favorite part of being a priest?
My favorite part of being a priest, from the day that I got up off of the chapel floor in Mundelein Seminary at the Chapel of the Immaculate Conception, to this very moment, is being engaged with the people, praying with them, laughing with them, supporting them, comforting them in sorrow, and applauding them when they have moments to rejoice, confirming young people with much delight, witnessing marriages, baptizing babies. Those are the things that I wanted to be a priest for. Those are the things that I find most delightful. Those are the things that I think bring me the deepest satisfaction. Now, as the Archbishop, I have administrative responsibilities. But working in administrative functions and capacities doesn't warm my heart as much as saying Mass on Sunday with a parish of people or gathering with a group of young people for the celebration of the Sacrament of Confirmation. That's what keeps me going, not being administratively successful, although I have to try to do that too.
Follow up to Glenn's question, Archbishop Gregory, if we could go back to when you're growing up, you're at St. Carthage Grammar School. You decide to become a priest even before you convert to Catholicism. What do you think the priests and the nuns would say to you today if they could see you?
Well, I hope that they would experience a certain satisfaction and pride. My home pastor, Monsignor John Hayes, would probably say to me on this day, as he said on many other occasions before, "Wilton, do a little good, not too much harm."
That's sage advice for all of us, Archbishop Gregory. Well, we'll be praying for you, and we'll be watching today at 2 p.m. at the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception as you're installed as the seventh bishop of the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C. We're blessed to have you on Relevant Radio this morning. May we have your blessing, please?
Certainly. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
We ask the Father in his graciousness to bestow a blessing upon this radio station and all of its participants, its staff, its broadcasters, and their families. And may that blessing remain with you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Archbishop Wilton Gregory will be installed as the seventh bishop of Washington today, and we're blessed to be on the air in Washington now on Relevant Radio 1260 WQOF. The call letters stand for Wonderful Queen of the Family. And when you get settled, Archbishop Gregory, please use us, that radio station and this network, to communicate not only to the faithful of Washington, D.C., but all around the world on Relevant Radio. We're blessed to have you on this morning. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. God bless you.